Well, let us pray. Help then, O Lord, our unbelief, and may our faith abound to call on you when you are near and seek where you are found. God, may you give us your Holy Spirit that we might understand your word and apply it to our lives and learn to live more and more by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. As you walk into church this morning, what's going on in your life? What are you coming in with? What are the challenges, maybe the joys? Have you ever wondered what God's perspective on your life is? What he thinks about what you go through and the burdens you bear every single day? You see, when we're in the weeds, it's tough to get perspective, is it not? What is really true? It's amazing how many times those of us who call ourselves Christians have a mountaintop experience. Maybe it's the women's retreat that just finished up. Or maybe a time at church or in a devotion, and God gives you something and you hold on to it for about 30 minutes. And then we get into the weeds and we lose perspective. It happens to all of us, does it not? And yet, once we become a Christian, the Bible's pretty clear, our perspective changes. We're not just self-absorbed. All of a sudden, we realize that there's a whole other world and a whole other God in charge of the world. The definition of spiritual growth is learning to see life from God's perspective. If you're a Christian today, are you growing? When you hit a circumstance or a challenge, is your first default reaction to say, now wait a minute, God, before I overreact, can you shine some light on what you think about what I'm going through? Because if I don't get your perspective, I'm heading to Egypt, as we'll read about in a minute. You see, our Hebrew text says, we walk by faith and not by sight. But I want to make the case this morning that authentic faith is not blind faith. It's actually learning to see what God sees. That authentic faith actually entails seeing and getting perspective on life. You know that country hit song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers? Pretty cheesy. But how about you? Have you ever looked back in your life and go, man, what I thought was going to kill me actually saved me? Open up to Genesis, will you? You might want to grab a Bible because we're going to go through 12 as well as 13, or just keep the bulletin in front of you. We're continuing our series about life with God from Genesis, and we're going to talk about walking by faith. First point, walking by faith is something we learn. Even after we meet Christ, it doesn't come naturally. If you remember from last week in chapter 12, God breaks into Abraham's world, calls him and says, look, leave your family and your country and go to a land I will show you. And Abraham actually obeys and he goes into Canaan. God's redemptive rescue is beginning through Abraham. He leaves, he comes to Canaan, everyone's excited. Verse 8 tells us he builds an altar at Bethel. And he worships. He's like, wow, life with God is awesome. I didn't know it could be this good. It's worth giving up all that stuff to experience God. And they worship and they settle down. Many of us start our faith like that. Have you ever had a mountaintop experience? Can you remember when you came to faith? If you've never actually experienced God through Christ, just on a side note, you may want to ask him to reveal himself to you. Because the whole Bible's giving testimony that God breaks into everyday people's worlds like Abraham and like you and me and actually speaks and calls and leads. He wants to know us. A lot of joy in Abraham in that initial coming to God. But what happens? you have the text in front of you, you'll see, we skipped over it. Chapter 12, verse 10 says, there's a famine in the land. There's a famine in the land. Now, let's just get this straight. I got my wife, I got all my belongings, my servants, all that kind of thing. We're doing what God tells us to do, and it's actually looking like it's going to kill us. Have you ever had that experience as a Christian? The initial joy and excitement of knowing Christ wears off, and all of a sudden it looks like what God is asking you to do will kill you. This doesn't look or feel right, God. God could not have meant this. You mean this land? The one that's got no food? The one that actually is hard? So many of us, the first sign of trouble, we act like pagans in a crisis. Just like Abraham. He doesn't call on the Lord. He packs up his stuff and he takes off. And he heads down to Egypt, and what gets worse, he sells out his wife to save his own skin. And if you want to read about it, it's actually an amazing story. She's a beautiful woman, and he's afraid, you know, he's going to get in trouble. So he says, hey, pretend you're my sister so they won't hurt me, and you can just be, you know, be taken by Pharaoh. This is not an act of faith, you know? I think this is where a lot of us live, by the way. You're going through your daily life, and you might have experienced God, but then challenges come, and we act like pagans in a crisis. Rather than saying, okay, God, you called me here. I'm going to trust you have power to deal with the famine. We go and try and work in our own power. And we sell out, and people would never know we're Christians or call on God by the way we act, right? God shows Abraham tremendous grace, because this is actually faith 101. He actually gets kicked out of Egypt. We didn't read that part either. Pharaoh says, you got to get out of here. And what does he do? He repents quickly. He comes back to Bethel, and that's where we pick up the story in chapter 13. He goes back and he worships again in the land of Canaan. I wonder how many of you are acting like pagans in a crisis. You're not factoring in the God factor in whatever circumstances you're in now. And you're running around trying to do it yourself. God's going to be faithful. He loves you. He doesn't revoke the call. Abraham's not disqualified. But life gets kind of hard. What's the famine in your life that's causing you to run away from God? Loneliness? Tough marriage? Children, finances, friends, what is it? Are you wandering around Egypt trying to stay in control, or have you stopped to ask God's perspective? Many times he's got to get us back to a place of worship before we actually get God's perspective. I think we learn from this text from Abraham that the challenges of the daily life are the context in which we learn to walk by faith. And you need to know, God will not give up on you when you're wandering around Egypt. I think some of you are. And I hope you'll come to your senses and come back to Bethel and worship and say, okay, God, give me your perspective. I want to do it God's way rather than my own way. This is where the gospel meets the Christian life. God still pours out his grace on Abraham and blesses him in Egypt. And Abraham finally comes to his senses and comes back to God. It brings him to the reset button, and they start fresh. Walking by faith needs to be learned in the context of the challenges of our lives. Will you embrace those challenges and ask God to give you his perspective? Secondly, we learn that there's a freedom in walking by faith. We pick up the story here in 13, okay? They get back to Canaan, they worship. His nephew Lot has been blessed. Never mind that Abraham didn't obey God when he said, leave your father's family. He actually brought Lot with him, and Lot's been a thorn, has been and will be a thorn in his side. When we hold on to little sins, by the way, little bitternesses or anger, God says, give that stuff up. You're totally loved. You don't need any of that baggage anymore. We hold on to it, and it causes tension. Well, the herdsmen come to blows. There's not enough land. In other words, there's a potential for famine. Do you get that in the text? they're kind of facing the same challenge all over again. There's not enough food to feed everybody. And what does Abraham do? He could pull out the God card, couldn't he? Look, I'm your uncle, number one. Number two, God gave me this land. Pack your bags and go find something else. We love to pull out the rector card, don't we? Or the dad card, or the parent card, and we just are going to impose our will on people who deserve it. Nephew's lots of punk, by the way. We're going to learn about him being a punk later on. But what does Abram do? In walking by faith, he's so secure now and trusts God so much, he doesn't need to force the circumstances. He can trust God, and he says, look, I'm going to let go of my rights. Lot, you choose. Take a look. Where do you want to go? Wherever you go, I'll go the other way. It's not worth breaking up the family. Can you imagine? Isn't this the gospel, by the way? Jesus, who had all the rights and privileges of God, could demand anything. He could break into our world and demand anything he wants. But when he took on flesh and walked among us, it says he took the nature of a servant. There was freedom. He could see God's perspective, a bigger plan, and he was willing to love and serve everyone else for their best interests. When we walk by faith, it impacts how we live. Because we see God, we're able to see his perspective, we learn to trust, and we're able to let go and stop playing God. This is the gospel. I play pickup basketball with a bunch of guys. And I'll confess, when I was growing up, I was the guy who threw the temper tantrum. Swore a lot, demanded my rights. You fouled me, or even if you didn't foul me and I didn't score, I was calling a foul anyway. I was one of the worst on the court, incredibly competitive. I was going to win. Over the years, I've been learning about the gospel and how much God loves me. And you know what? I actually don't need to win a basketball game to make me feel like a man anymore. I don't have to win. I really don't care. And actually, after coming over my surgery, I was so glad to be back on the court after I started playing again. I was like, man, I'm just so grateful to be here. Well, that actual day, a guy tried to pick a fight with me. And he was hacking me, and I was playing pretty good defense. And man, finally, the other guy stepped in. And like, aren't you going to say something? I'm like, you know what? I'm so glad that I actually can walk and that I'm not in pain anymore. I don't care. He can call unjust fouls. I don't care. I'm just so grateful to play. You see, when you have God's perspective on life, when you actually trust Jesus to be actually in charge of every area of your life, and you believe he has the power to break in anytime, you don't have to fight for your rights. You can entrust your spouse or your circumstances or your financial challenges or your tithing or your time to God. Your kid's life's future is not going to be crushed if they don't get a lacrosse scholarship. I'm just going to say. Or if they're not getting straight A's. Or if you get passed over for the promotion unjustly. Or just whatever practical thing. You know what? Once you have God's perspective and you realize how much he loves you, there's an ultimate freedom. I don't have to play God. I will give him the right to break in at any time. Contrast this to Lot. Lot lifts his eyes and he clearly says, man, I better take that land to the east. That's the best land. He looks by outward appearance. And isn't that like our culture? Outward appearance. If I go to the right school or have the right this or the right that, my life's going to be right. But we're told in a little statement, actually, God's perspective on the land in the east is quite different from what it looks like on the outward appearance. The people there are wicked. It's interesting, just on a side note, Lot says, look, it looks like the Garden of Eden. You know what the Garden of Eden looked like? Beautiful outward, but inward you had two people running around trying to play God, rebelling, and treating each other pretty poorly. Lot looks by sight and says, well, gosh, A, B, C, D, E, I better go there. Meanwhile, God's perspective is you go there and it's going to kill you. There's a proverb in Proverbs 16 that says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it only leads to death." May I be so bold as to say, the Baltimore dream, live in this place, send your kids to this school, do this, do that, go there, do that, belong to this club, have this income, could actually lead to death. Walking by faith gives us a freedom to trust God. And you know what's so ironic? Thirdly, we see the reward of faith. After Abraham lets it go and Lot selfishly just judges by outward appearances and tries to run off to Sodom, God comes to Abraham, and ready for this? He invites him to lift his eyes. Whereas Lot's eyes were lustful. I want what I want. God says, look, by the way, I want you to lift up your eyes, and I want to give you my perspective. And my perspective is, it looks like to you that Lot took the best. Here's what the text says. I want you to look to the north. Lot didn't choose that. And the south. The east. And the west. God comes to him and says, look, I know it looks like you gave up the best, by the way. I'm going to give it to you all. I'm going to give all of it to you. It's all going to be yours. By sacrificing and putting others first, you're not losing a thing. You're gaining so much more. Have you ever known the joy of obedience? I want to say this to high school kids all the time. Because they're looking at their friends who are partying and going crazy and gossiping and in the in crowd and have their cell phones and are drinking and all that stuff. And they think that's life. God comes to a high school kid and says, look, I want you to trust me with your social life. It may be a couple of years. There may be a short-term sacrifice. But when I give you, when you lift up your eyes and see what I actually want to give you, I want to give you so much more than life, than a few beers or making mistakes with the opposite sex can give you. I want to give you so much more than that. God gives it all back. And I want to say to high school kids, look, don't just look by outward appearances. Trust God in high school. Trust me. He can be faithful, even though your friends may not want you to come into Sodom with them. How about for you? Have you ever known the joy of obedience and it opened up more than you could ever know? That God says, you think you're sacrificing this? I'm going to give you that and everything back. I just heard the story of a family in our church who gave up, ready for this? 5 years of vacation to give to our capital campaign. I'm not saying everyone has to do that, but that's what they felt led. 5 years of vacation. They came back a year and a half. Guy sits in my office and says, you won't believe what God's just done. And goes on to tell me how God has provided like fivefold for what they gave. Now, this is not a health, wealth gospel. I'm not saying you give up 10 bucks and God's going to make you a millionaire. What we're learning is, all right, maybe he will. I don't know. You know? Give it a try. If he's calling you to do it. What I'm saying is the life of obedience, of living for others, of walking by faith, of getting God's perspective on the world opens up the riches of God's grace. God has so much more for you than you want for yourself. And that's the message of Genesis chapter 13. It's worth it walking by faith and asking God for his perspective on life and learning to walk as Jesus did in loving others. Let me close with two brief applications. Look at the text. Abraham meets God at Bethel. That's the place of conversion. But as he learns to walk by faith, look what it says there at the end there, end of chapter 13. He says, but Abraham moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Mamre. Do you know what Mamre means in Hebrew? This is cool. Revelation. Vision. Vision of God. He meets God in worship, but then he moves to a place where he's seeing God work. And he pitches his camp in Hebron. You know what Hebron means? Fellowship, communion with God. We begin with conversion. God lifts up our eyes and we see, wow, I never saw the world like that through God's perspective. How he views suffering, how he views wealth, how he views relationships. And as we see it, we're drawn into communion with God and we live in a place of constant communion. You see, God didn't just give Abraham the land. He gave him himself. Lot ran off and thought he was getting the best land. Meanwhile, Abraham gets the land and knowledge of God. Walking by faith moves us from a place of worship to a place of vision to a place of actually walking with God. Secondly, look at verse 17 and we'll close with this. God invites Abraham to go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I'm giving it to you. I want you to see what your inheritance really is. Ladies, why did you go on the women's retreat? Guys, I think there were 15 of you this morning on Thursday morning. Why did you go to a Bible study at church? Why do you come and worship on Sundays? I want to make the case. It's to see the riches of what God says, who we are in him. Throughout the week, we forget our amazing status as sons and daughters. And we begin to judge our worth based on our sins and our screw-ups. Meanwhile, says God, I want you to look at the breadth. In Ephesians, Paul says, I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ that he would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart, this is great, may be enlightened that you may know and see the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance. Abraham, when he came out of Egypt, knew he was loved and God would not abandon him, even when he screwed up. When we have that kind of assurance that God will never leave us nor forsake us, we can get through anything. And our anger and frustration levels, our depression, our anxiety starts to decrease because we're walking in faith. Paul goes on to write in Ephesians, I'm praying that you may have the power together with all the saints to grasp, to see how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Where is your eyesight being enlightened? Are you putting yourself in places where you can be reminded and see what God really thinks about you and what he's going to give you? Or are you judging your whole life based on worldly standards? If you're not in a Bible study, if you're not coming weekly to worship, if you're not opening your Bible each morning and just saying, God, remind me again what's true. My life is crazy. You're going to lose perspective. And I love that God invited Abraham just to walk the land. It wasn't his yet. We haven't arrived yet. We're not perfect. We're still going to mess up. But he said, I just want you to just walk the land and see what I'm going to do, that it may encourage your soul. Church of the Resurrection, lift up your eyes. Look at the cross. What Jesus was willing to sacrifice so you could see and experience God every day. View his riches. Enjoy him. Let him change your perspective and walk through the ups and downs of your life with you. Because walking by faith is not blind faith. It's seeing and experiencing God in everyday life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.